little bit late, but it's always fun to get a very special Cinco de Lugie.
Cinco de Tommy.
With Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, guys. Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right. You could set your watch to it. It's that time of year where the majority, if not all, Yankee fans want Aaron Boone to be fired. So the Cinco de Five-O today is, we all know Aaron Boone is not going to get fired. He basically has a lifetime contract. So I'm going to give you the top five ways Aaron Boone can turn the Yankees around.
Nice.
All right.
Here we go.
Number five.
All right. I'm moving Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole to the bullpen.
What?
I'm moving both to the bullpen.
What are you talking about?
Both have struggled mightily. We all know the hardest outs to get at the end of the game are those are the most important ones.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
And Tiki, let's be honest, and Evan's going to agree with this. In 10 years, there's going to be no more starting pitching in baseball.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. And that whole Tampa Bay Rays thing, what was it they call it? Bullpenning?
Yes.
An opener.
Yeah, just do the openers. Gerrit Cole's your opener.
I just want to clarify, this Cinco de 5-0 is the top five ways Aaron Boone can turn around the Yankees,
yes,
or the top five ways Aaron Boone could actually get fired.
No. Because okay, what has been the criticism of the Yankees over the last couple years? They run it back. They do the same thing. They're corporate, whatever. This is how you shake it up. Okay. It's like a new booker in a wrestling territory. How do we shake it up?
If that's number five, I can't wait for the rest of them.
Number four.
All right, so I'm going to bat Juan Soto leadoff, okay, and I'm going to bat Aaron Judge second. I'm going to give them the most at-bats they can get possibly in a game. Now, we'll worry about third and fourth and fifth later, but I'm going to get my best two hitters at the top of the order. I'm going to have Judge behind Soto. Soto scuffling a little bit here. Bat him in the leadoff spot. Got a good eye. Get him on base, and away we go.
That's actually not bad. Aaron Judge has historically been a number two hitter.
I'd have no issue with that. I wouldn't necessarily do it. The idea I suggested about a week ago was to go Soto leadoff, but then have someone bat second with, yes, Aaron Judge third. And lately, why not Ben Rice, the 3-home run game a couple days ago? But I don't think that's your worst idea.
Number three.
Stay tuned. I'm moving Ben Rice to catcher, and I'm trading for Christian Walker.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, the Diamondbacks trading Christian Walker?
I mean, they're not in the mix.
They're in the mix.
No, they're not.
You think the Mets are in the mix?
Of course they are. And the Diamondbacks know that. And they're going to. Christian Walker, free agent, right? Diamondbacks probably not re-signing him. So you get something. Maybe you get the fellow that everyone loves for the Yankees.
The Diamondbacks are one game under 500, yes, much like the Mets are.
I understand that.
So you can't be positive, Tommy.
Sure can.
And then in the next breath say the defending National League champions, the team we all talk about that we want to be, should trade their best player, one of their best players, get Ketel Marte.
Right. By the way, they're in a better position than the Mets relative to the division because they're only three games back from the Padres.
That doesn't matter.
Doing radio in New York, not in Arizona. The Diamondbacks are out of it. The Mets are going to the postseason. Yankees trade for Walker. Move Ben Rice, who's catcher eligible, to catcher.
Number two.
Catcher eligible. He's talking like it's fantasy.
All right. An equal number of games out of the wild card, by the way.
Yes, that's my point. Yes.
Now, this is going to take some convincing on Booney's part. He's probably going to have to go to Hal here, but it's about time that they start allowing the players to grow facial hair and put their last names on the back of the jersey.
So you're going to let Aaron Boone probably die on that sword, but you're going to say that he's actually going to save him.
Yes. You start growing the beard. You put the last name on the back of the jersey. You mix it up. You change the culture here. Look, I'm just here to tell you, the Yankees haven't won in a while. Let's be fair here. For their standards, you got to do something.
You said two things. One of them, I'm agreeing with you on. The other one is blasphemy. You can't put the last name on the back of the jersey.
Why is it blasphemy?
Because they haven't done that.
So
that's not what
so
they
then
do.
They should just do that. So they do that. But they haven't won in a while either.
Oh, so that's good. Tiki's not going to change
this? No, it's not going to change anything at all. It's just a jersey.
Next.
It's just cloth.
Number one.
All right, so I'm going to be fully transparent here. I have something written here as number one, but I've spoken to a few people here in the newsroom, and they've inspired me to change it.
Really?
And this one is not going to go over very well.
Oh, jeez.
The roll call.
Get rid of it?
Get rid of it.
No! Come on! No!
Until you start winning games,
no.
I understand it. I love it. I appreciate it. This is not a knock on anything they do. I think it's awesome. But if you're trying to change things, and Aaron Boone we know is not going anywhere, we know Brian Cashman is not going anywhere, it's time to put the roll call just a little bit on ice for a little bit.
Okay, so here's my follow-up. there's a way I could love this idea.
Go ahead.
Okay? And I got to ask him a question.
Okay. Let's hear it.
If we're doing it as a punishment to the players, like, hey, listen, you can't have your milk and cookies until you start winning, I think I can get on board.
Wow. But what are the players now going to just ignore the fans?
No, there's no roll call. You can't. They got to play better. They got to earn the roll call back.
No, but you'll be thrown out and barred for life. You'll be banned.
Oh.
It has to be understood.
So you're saying that the Yankees are now taking affirmative action against the fans?
No, I think...
If they should roll call.
There should be some type of punishment. I think the Bleacher Creatures, I think everybody out there will understand this. It's for the good of the team. It's for winning a World Series. And then once they start getting better, they get their milk and cookies back. They'll get their roll call back. Just putting it on ice for a little bit.
The way you have to do it is you have to have a Bleacher Creature press conference.
Yes.
And clearly the guy to hold it is Keith.
I agree.
Keith works here. He's a Bleacher Creature.
100%.
Now, by the way, there's no way Keith is on board with this.
Wait a minute. But wouldn't Keith be on board with the success of the Yankees winning games, changing it up?
AM to AM.
Keith is likely not alarmist right now.
No, I think he's pretty I think he's down on the team.
Of course, everybody is down on the team, but alarmist? Like, we got to do drastic things to change how the organization presents itself to its fan base and to Major League Baseball at large?
I think what you would do is, and this is only if Keith's down with it, because you can't force him to do it, you can't force the Bleacher Creatures to do it, Keith would have a press conference live here on WFAN.
Love it.
Where he says, look, we love you, Aaron Judge. We love you, Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. We love you, Ben Rice.
Yep.
Nothing personal. Until you guys get your heads out of your ass, we are taking away the roll call. Mm-hmm. When you earn it back, it comes back.
You don't deserve it right now.
It's like the opposite of that BS stuff they did in Philly where they gave Trey Turner a standing ovation.
Embarrassing.
This is tough love. So,
KM to AM.
I get it. If the Yankee fan in the bleachers are on board with it, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So Keith, Bald Vinny, they got to be on board with this, but this is about turning the Yankees around. It's been a long time since we've had a parade in this town for the Yankees. You got to go to drastic measures in this spot.
Grimace, you're our lucky charm.
No, Grimace is ours. They don't get Grimace. Anyhow, thank you, Lugie. There's your Cinco de Tommy.
You and I need to have a three-way.
With Sean out. Speaking of the New York Yankees, they are playing the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. It's actually a little bit earlier of a first pitch. They play at 6:50. Carlos Rodon is on the mound against Ryan Pepio. I think he's one of the guys they got back for Tyler Glasnow. Here's your Yankee lineup tonight. All right. Interesting. See what Booney's got cooking against Pepio tonight after getting shut down by the Red Sox. Ben Rice remains the leadoff hitter. He's at first base. Cool.
Yes.
Juan Soto batting second in right field. Aaron Judge DHing. Getting a lot more DH days. And by the way, the reason why Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are getting more DH days is who do you want to have DH?
Yeah.
Like Trent Grisham and Alex Verdugo are really good defensive players.
Yeah. So like, if you can give Judge a break on his leg.
Right.
Give him a break on his leg.
If you're doing it based on defense, the guy who would DH would be Juan Soto.
Yes.
Like he'd be the everyday DH. So Judge is batting third, DHing. Verdugo is cleaning up. Gleyber Torres batting fifth. Austin Wells to the sixth spot. Anthony Volpe down to the seventh spot. Trent Grisham in center field. And DJ LeMahieu is batting ninth at third base. The Yankees take on Tampa Bay. Any issues with this lineup?
No, I think it's about right. It's mostly the same, but there's subtle differences, but nothing that's going to make you like scream. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Rice has been, he's been really good.
No, I like Ben Rice. I like Ben Rice being towards the top of the order. My suggestion was Soto 1, someone 2, whether it's Verdugo or Rice or Gleyber Torres, but it's fine.
Yeah. I mean,
I like DJ batting ninth. I'm a fan of that. I like him as that second leadoff hitter, especially if he can get going and
right,
get on
and
base.
Volpe now has kind of disappeared into the middle of the back end of the lineup here, but maybe that if he turns back into what he was at the beginning of the season, then you feel like the lineup is full.
Well, here's the bottom line. You said Anthony Volpe needs to turn back into what he was at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They need Anthony Volpe to get hot. There's someone else they need to get hot. And we got to start calling him out. We got to do it. Because expectations come with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Juan Soto. Juan Soto has not hit for
a month? 200?
3 weeks?
200 this month?
I think so. And he gets on base a lot, so his on base is still fine, but they need Juan Soto to be that April Juan Soto, especially with some of the struggles with the rest of their lineup. So pressure's on. Like, what am I doing? Am I threatening him? No. I mean, the only threat is from the bleacher creatures who may take away your roll call.
Right. Remember, Sean's rule is still in effect that you cannot boo Juan Soto despite the bad month.
You can't boo him, but you can take away the roll call. I don't know why I like that idea. The Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. I have a major issue with the Mets starting lineup. We'll get to that and coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to Dave in Manasquan. What's up, Dave?
Yo, what's up, Evan and Tiki? I heard you talk about the fake moon landing stuff, and I wanted to give you the skinny since I have like a PhD in this stuff, right?
All right, let's hear it.
So the story is that the great Stanley Kubrick is actually the guy who directed the fake moon landing back in the day. And now we didn't actually land on the moon. We used his footage. And more so, he left hints in some of his most famous movies, like The Shining, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go into a whole dissertation here, but like the little kid in The Shining, you know, like the weird Mrs. Torrance kid with the finger, he's like wearing a NASA shirt at one point. And like the number of the door has significance, the patterns in the rug have significance. I know it sounds crazy, but there's something to it. You should dig. Thanks for having me out, guys.
That's a rabbit hole I'll get into.
The question I have is, let's say, I don't know who it would be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes out and, like, we just admit it. We're like, you know what? We fooled you. We're just like, we gotcha. Now, it was a long time ago. It was 1969. A lot of us were not even on the earth. Some of us were really young. But let's just say U.S. government comes out, all right? I don't know who could hold a press conference because none of us trust anybody these days.
The most important day in the history of our country.
Like, so I don't know who could have the press conference. But okay, I got it. Barack Obama and George W. Bush just come out side by side. And they're like, look, we got to get something off our chest. And W's like, and it's got nothing to do with Iraq. And Barack's like, dude, that's not funny. And George is like, oh, okay. And then they continue on. So it's like a comedy act. And they're like, look, we found out, we were stunned to. Moon landing's not real. Okay? Mm-hmm. You got us. I don't know why they did it. It was probably because of the Cold War with the USSR.
Yes.
So we just wanted to come clean. We're not president anymore. We know you guys don't trust anyone else. I don't know why you still trust us, but hey, what's up? Moon landing's fake. Okay, and we all just accept it. What would we do? Like, would we all be pissed, or would we all say, you know what? It was a million years ago. Whatever. We still believe that telescope is out there, that brand new James Webb telescope is out there.
Right.
Like, we buy that we've made great
progress.
So we believe that, but all right, we didn't do that in 1969. What would we really do? Would we kind of accept it and be like, all right?
Yeah, I don't think we'd be upset because there's too much evidence now that we are going to space.
Right.
And we are seeing things that we never thought were imaginable. And we know more about space than we in any time in human history, obviously, because technology has advanced. But would we be mad? No, because there's no resource or benefit that comes from getting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what other than a Cold War, I don't know, victory over the USSR, what was the point?
I think that.
But right, maybe to inspire a nation, but again, I wasn't alive then.
That's the key.
So the only thing I can know about it is what people say and talk about that era in the late 60s.
Right. That's why, like, if they can, and I'm not suggesting this is true, but if all of a sudden, again, former presidents came out and said, look, we got some research, we got some information. We knew about Pearl Harbor all along. Like, we just knew. We knew it was coming. FDR, inside job.
That'd be different.
It'd be scandalous, but wouldn't we mostly say, we weren't around? Like, that's horrible. I can't believe it. It changes our view on our government in the 1940s, but like,
I think that's,
we weren't around.
That one's very different.
That's too far?
That's too far.
Yeah, because, let me take that one back.
Right, because nuclear weapons don't exist if we're not drawn into the that war.
Let me go back a little earlier. Spanish-American War. All right? Remember the yellow journalism stuff?
Yes. Yeah,
it was true. Fake the whole thing. We didn't really care about Cuba's freedom. Like, wouldn't we all say, we didn't even know the Spanish-American War happened? Wouldn't most people be like, okay?
I think people would care if they faked the moon landing. I think that generation, because so much inspiration.
That generation
would,
but what Evan is saying is, like, us now.
What,
like,
would
you
say?
Care?
We would say, tell us when you really landed on the moon first and give us proof of that.
Gotcha.
And then we would have to believe.
We've never been back. Like, if that was fake, There's four people that have been on the moon. That's it.
Can you name them, by the way? It's Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin. I don't know the other two.
But they, I don't think the other two got off this the shuttle.
So right? Were they actually on the moon?
No, but I mean, whatever. I don't know. Good question.
Lee is calling from...
I can't name the other two, by the way.
Yeah, me neither. Lee is calling from Long Island. What's up, Lee?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
We're good.
Good.
So I got two things for you. One, like the Trey Turner and the Francisco Lindor, like, applause to get them going. If you were to pick a Yankee to do it, who would you pick? And secondly, what's your thoughts on getting rid of the grounds crew doing the YMCA instead of getting rid of the roll call?
Well, they should have gotten rid of that 20 years ago because it's lame.
That song is, I mean, it's still kind of cool when it happens in a wedding. But other than that, I don't need to hear that.
And so, I've never gotten into the grounds crew doing the hokey dance. Yeah. Never a fan of that. Yeah. And I'll never forget. I don't know if you guys realize this because it only lasted a few days. The Mets tried to imitate it for like one homestand where the Mets were copying what the Yankees were doing. I don't think there's anybody on the Yankees that needs a standing ovation to get them going because nobody's really getting booed. Like, I've noticed that. Like, you're not getting intense boos for any particular player.
Right, but if you wanted to get somebody going, who would it be?
Glaber.
It's obviously Glaber.
Yeah, that'd be my guy.
Everybody else feels like they're middling, but okay.
I also just don't believe in it. I think it's weak. I think that's a Philly thing, and I think that we need to be above that.
Right. Don't copy Wrigley by throwing the ball back, and let's not copy the Phillies by cheering underperforming supposed-to-bes.
I got to hand it to the generational talent himself. I think Lugie's got it right. What's I think that? We need to start punishing people, and that's by taking stuff away. So I agree with the whole, hey, let's take this away. Like, if the Mets start struggling, I'd say no more Apple. Sorry. Apple don't go up. When you start
getting... Yeah, but who are you hurting there? You're not hurting the player. You're hurting the fans.
Oh, come on. Brandon Nimmo needs to see that Apple go up. Pete Alonso loves seeing that Apple go up. Now, the Mets are not at that point, but I kind of like the idea of punishing. Take that away? We're not there yet, but I like the idea of punishments.
If you want that roll call, if you want that acknowledgement, you got to earn it.
Yeah.
You got to be the tribal chief. You got to be the head of the table to get acknowledged.
Now, before we get back to your calls, a lot has been talked about today from the New York Mets having to listen to Brandon Nimmo, who came out after yesterday's game and basically demanded that David Stearns go get some bullpen help, to the New York Yankees trying to turn their season around, to a very heated argument between me and Tiki and then me and Lugie concerning Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson. Basically, I'll summarize it for you. If you missed it, it happened at 4 o'clock. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. Tommy Lugauer and Tiki Barber, for whatever reason, disrespected Jalen Brunson and basically think he just sucks. And I was, of course, coming to his defense as just a great player. So you can rewind and hear for yourself. I was really alarmed by it. I was disgusted by it. I still respect you guys, but I thought it was, especially with Lugie.
Do you think Jalen Brunson would say Mikal Bridges sucks?
Well, no, because they're
exactly.
buddies.
So stop it.
I never said Jalen Brunson sucked. Mikal Bridges, right.
Jalen Brunson is doing damage.
Hey, buddy. But tonight, the New York Mets are about to begin a homestand. I'm going to the game tonight. Very excited. I'm not in my season tickets, which is always weird. But I'm in the building tonight, very pumped up.
Yeah.
And
are you sweet-lifing it?
No, it's similar section. It was just like I sold the tickets by accident. Then I decided I wanted to go. So I had to trade tickets. Like, the Mets are kind enough where you can take a game that you know you're not going to and trade it for a game that you now want to go to.
Got it.
So I'm sitting very similarly to my season tickets, but I am going tonight. So I got my scorebook app, which I'm holding up right now, and I started writing out the lineups. Because I'm like, and I do that during commercial breaks. I find that to be really disrespectful if someone would do that in the middle of a show. It's almost like you're not paying attention.
Right.
And I have too much respect for you.
Thank you.
So I would only do that during breaks. So I was filling out the lineup. And I'm filling out the Nationals lineup. Okay. Made some changes since last week. And I'm filling out the Met lineup. Lindor, cool. Nimmo, great.
Yep.
JD, needs to wake up, but fine. Pete Alonso.
Yep, clean up.
Francisco Alvarez.
That's great. Fantastic.
And then I get to the sixth spot. And I got to see DJ Stewart. I want to be as nice as I can. DJ Stewart has been a train wreck. For 2 months, I'm going to give you his stats since May 1st.
Yeah.
I am not making them up. Since May 1st, DJ Stewart is hitting 146. He hasn't been good. And so for an organization and a manager that hold people accountable when they don't perform, which they do sparingly, isn't it not time to send DJ Stewart down to AAA? And if you're not going to do that, Mendy, can you keep him out of the lineup? And oh, if you're not going to do that, can you not have him hit ahead of Mark Vientos? So three things. First of all, get rid of him. If you're not going to get rid of him, don't play him. And if you're going to play him, how do you have him hitting ahead of Mark Vientos? I'm sorry, I'm going to lose my mind.
Maybe they are trying to wake him up. Hey, you're going to put you in a spot of importance, and therefore you are going to realize your importance and actually hit. Because he's had five hits since June.
Yes!
Five hits.
Like, isn't that enough of a sample size to say, and by the way, if he hits a home run tonight, you can tweet me all night long. I'll be thrilled. Like, I want DJ Stewart to shut the guy on the radio up. Just like I want DJ Stewart to shut all Met fans up by going 4-for-4 tonight. Positive Tommy probably predicts he's going to go 4-for-4. Positive Tommy's probably going to go on FanDuel right now and bet an anytime home run from DJ Stewart. But my point is this, and I will move on, because I know Tiki agrees with me. What are we doing with DJ Stewart?
You're trying to hope that he fills this void that Starling Marte left for as long as he possibly can.
It's not working.
It's definitely not working.
So stop playing.
So who else are you going to play?
Tyrone Taylor. Or how about this one? You want Jeff McNeil in the lineup?
Yeah,
cool.
But he would see.
Jeff McNeil's playing second base. Play him in right field and play Jose Iglesias.
He played right field the other day.
Okay.
He kind of butchered a ball out there against, who was that, against Pittsburgh?
Is DJ Stewart Roberto Clemente all of a sudden?
No.
Like, I would rather see Tyrone Taylor over DJ Stewart, but really I'd rather see Jose Iglesias, because Jose Iglesias, and that's my other issue.
In right field?
No, should play second base every single day. And so Jeff McNeil can play right field. If you want to play Jeff McNeil, and by the way, I'll tell you something crazy, and I'm no Jeff McNeil guy. If you actually asked me, okay, Evan, it's up to you, I would play Jeff McNeil in right field. And I'd play Iglesias
right
at second base.
Why is Iglesias not in the lineup today?
Yeah, why is that, Tiki?
I don't know. You're the Met fan.
No, Tiki, why is he not in the lineup?
I don't know.
Why is he not in the lineup?
I don't know.
Hey, Loogie, why is he not in the lineup?
I don't know.
Even Positive Tommy got shut up there because he doesn't know how to answer it without ripping Mendy.
We're also trying to play a game with Evan right now, and he's not playing along.
What's your game?
So the TV put up a lower graphic, and we were hoping you would notice
it. I didn't see the graphic.
As a surprise,
apologies.
So Paulie just hit it. The Mets have made a trade.
The Mets have made a trade.
They have acquired a relief pitcher.
Oh, Phil Maton from the Rays for Here we go! Here we go, baby! By the way, while I'm celebrating, look up his numbers. Right. Let's see how Phil's doing.
And Joey Lucchese.
Is Phil Maton the former Astro reliever? Look it up, Tiki.
I am.
See how much I know about relievers.
And by the way, while you're looking that up, Tiki, the Mets are also working out another relief pitcher.
They're working out another relief pitcher?
He's at Citi Field. He's a left-hander. Billy Wagner.
Now stop it.
Billy Wagner's at Citi Field. He just met with Carlos Mendoza. Billy Wagner's at Citi Field. The Mets need a relief pitcher. They need a lefty out of the bullpen.
Right.
I know we have our thoughts with Billy Wagner.
Most
of them are negative.
I cannot stand Billy
Never
Wagner.
Got a big save, but guess what? Billy Wagner is at Citi Field. David Stearns, if you're listening, give him a contract.
You know what?
Wouldn't you rather have Billy Wagner at this point than Diekman?
At this point, if Billy Wagner can save his Met legacy. Now, he also gets to reset his Hall of Fame clock.
Exactly.
Like, imagine doing that. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll wait five more years. I would, you know what,
for San Billy, Diego, Cleveland, Houston.
Yeah, Houston reliever, thank you.
Right, and then Tampa this year.
Give me his numbers this year.
Not great.
That's okay, give me his numbers.
His ERA is 4.58.
Than Eric Ozzie's.
Yeah, true, and 30, yeah, but Ozzie just, he's pitched one.
I'm joking, right. I shouldn't have said that about Ozzie, my apologies.
1.58 ERA, 35 innings pitched, giving up 6 home runs. 35 innings. He's been bad. His whip is 1.3.
Let me go a little deeper on this guy.
ERA plus is 14 points below average.
I remember him being a good reliever with the Astros for the last couple of years. Like a solid reliever for the Astros the last couple of years.
He was really good last year with the Astros.
Yeah, this year, it's not great. He's walking guys. Mm-hmm. He's not striking as many guys out. Whatever. I'll take it. Hey, look, what I said at the top of the show with you was you've got to do something. And even if you're not adding top line relievers, you need to help this team out. And Phil Maton is one of those guys where he's had some success in the major leagues. No one's saying he's a top-end reliever, but he's a human being. Now, I also saw on that SNY graphic that they've DFA'd Joey Lucchese, which makes me sad. Mm. That part is a little disappointing. And I thought he was pitching well at AAA. I thought. I'll have to look at maybe he started struggling recently. But either way, Met fans, they made a trade. We got Phil Maton.
Doesn't it just become a numbers game?
Yeah, they just fit the 40-man roster.
You just have to do something.
I mean, they couldn't have DFA'd Tyler J.
Yeah.
So Billy Wagner's 52 years old. It probably won't cost you much. Why not do it?
He's still on this Billy Wagner
trip. He's in the building. They need a lefty reliever.
What is he
this
doing?
Is Billy Wagner of the New York Mets.
What is he doing there?
Yeah, what's he? Is he hanging out?
I don't know. I just saw on Twitter that he met with Mendy, yada, yada, and he's just hanging out.
So you know what happens sometimes at Citi Field, and sometimes this is really cool, and we've spoiled it, but whatever. They'll have a trivia question tonight. So they'll be like, I'll give you an example. Hey, guys, who is the real GOAT, and I don't mean good GOAT, of the 2006 NLCS? Like, who's the real dog, if you will? And again, not good dog. Like, my answer would be, it's Billy Wagner.
Right.
That'd be my guy, right? So Billy Wagner would be the correct answer. The person would say, I'm going with choice B, Billy Wagner. Choice A was Aaron Howman. Choice B was Billy Wagner. Choice C was, you know, Willie Randolph, or not Bunting, right? And they say Billy Wagner. And then the person says, guess who's here? And then Billy Wagner walks down and gives you an autographed baseball as like a congratulations. But it's always cool because it's like, oh, wow, Billy Wagner's here. But now that's been spoiled. So when they ask who was on the mound when the Mets clinched the division to end the 2006 season, when they clinched the division against the Marlins on that night, the answer is Billy Wagner. Mm. Billy can show up and give out an autographed baseball.
Are you spoiling this for the Met fans that are listening to us?
Positive Tommy spoiled it.
Heading to City.
Positive Tommy spoiled it.
Yeah, but I don't think I knew that they were asking a question like that. Well, so now you gave the question and the answer.
Bad guy.
I'm a loser.
Now they got to scramble to find another question for Billy Wagner.
Well, you know what? I don't feel bad because me and the Mets scoreboard operators, we got a feud going on. Mm. They started this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, because of the Mikal Bridges trade.
Yeah, when they asked a trivia question. What's the over-under on New York trades tonight? Sorry, Evan Roberts. They decided to take a shot at me.
They did.
A day after I suffered the humiliation of Mikal Bridges being traded to the New York Knicks for a bunch of 12-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 5-year-olds, because that's how far along the draft picks are. Let me clarify. So people aren't like, what do you mean by that? They traded for a 12-year-old. What I mean is in 2031, whoever that person is, he's currently 12.
Yeah.
We good? Okay, I just wanted to clarify
All right, so
that.
Here's a quote from Billy Wagner. He said he's hoping he doesn't blow any saves between now and January so he can pick up the 5 votes he needs for the Hall of Fame. Can you imagine Billy Wagner finishes his story? He leads the Mets or helps the Mets get to a World Series, win the World Series, and he makes the Hall of Fame. It's perfect.
Loogie!
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm trying to decide if you're being serious or just like being...
Tiki, did I not suggest that you should play in the Olympics if they do flag football? You are 50 years old. I'm being dead serious. 52 years old, he could still pitch.
Yeah, I could run around for a little
bit. There you go.
I know what Loogie's doing and I respect it, by the way. He's going to think I'm taking a shot at him. I respect him. He's trying to do something that's pretty impressive.
Which is?
He's trying to get picked up by awful announcing 2 days in a row. He got picked up yesterday for Buck Showalter should finish his story as the manager of the Yankees. And now he's like, I'm going to try this whole, you know, Billy Wagner thing. Yankee baseball coming up a little bit earlier. Yankees and the Rays. Ozzy in Woodridge, New Jersey. A fine good afternoon to you, sir.
What's up, Ozzy?
What's going on, gentlemen?
All's well.
What's up?
Safe and happy 4th. All the travels went well. You guys did good.
Yeah.
We're alive. Fantastic. We're alive and we're Americans, baby. So.
Had a lot of pints and a lot of pubs over in Ireland.
There you go.
P&P.
Kept your promise.
Exactly
kept
right.
Kept your promise. One after another after
That's
another.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Evan, very daring move on your behalf, announcing that I was on hold with a soliloquy. You probably lost hundreds of thousands of listeners click their radios and Odyssey.
Yeah, it's like a science experiment. When I check the ratings in a few weeks, I'm going to see is Ozzy a ratings killer or is Ozzy a ratings drawer? And I will certainly let you know. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope they're not like counting the ratings during this that time and that we're doing this. But Evan, you're a system host. That's my opinion on that Jalen Brunson argument.
Yes.
And before I get to something that Tiki was familiar with, when Nimmo talks, the man from Milwaukee listens. Mm. He wants a reliever, they get a reliever.
Immediately.
Maybe
immediately.
It is pretty impressive. It is pretty impressive that immediately after Nimmo says, we need some help. I know he's Phil Maton, and he's pitched a little bit better recently, but David Stearns, the man from Milwaukee, is like, whatever you say, sir, and he got him as a reliever, at least one.
So Lugie has to go through Nimmo to get Wagner on the team so Wagner can get into the Hall of Fame and he can get those five saves. So there you go.
That's how you get it done. By the way, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY, and that'll lead you right into the Met coverage tonight. The New York Mets taking on the Washington Nationals, who they just played.
Yes.
Very strange to see them this quickly.
Pirates series against the Nationals.
And you know who they're facing tonight?
Who?
They're facing Jake Irvin, who is the same guy who completely shut them down on the 4th of July, who pitched this incredibly dominant performance that almost got overshadowed because Jesse Winker exists.
Yeah.
And speaking of Jesse Winker, how do we handle this tonight? Jesse Winker is not in the starting lineup for the Nationals, but he will come off the bench as soon as the Mets go to their bullpen, as soon as a righty is on the mound. Do we just ignore him? Do we cheer him to try to get into his head and confuse him? Do we go with the traditional boos? Because the traditional boos don't seem to work. It's almost like he gets riled up based on the boos. So I don't know what we do with Winker. Do we have like a chant for him? I'm thinking we ignore him. Like I'm thinking the 19,000 people that are at City tonight stand up and turn our backs on Jesse Winker when he comes up with a chance to ruin this game for the Mets.
Why would you do that?
Because everything else fails. When we boo him, he kills us. So I'm trying something different. We'll see. Let's go to Larry in Massapequa. What's up, Larry?
Okay. Tell me the truth, either you guys. Did we land on the moon or not land on the moon?
Yes, we landed on the moon.
Tiki says yes.
Thank you, Tiki. And?
You're welcome.
And what?
Well, what's your opinion?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable answering that question. No, I'm kidding. I believe we landed on the moon. I agree with Tiki Barber. I think it was an actual thing that happened in 1969.
Thank you very much. You have restored my faith in the educational system of America.
Yes.
Well, they
went five more times. I thought it was four people. 12 people have been on the
12 total people?
12 total.
We weren't suggesting.
Four of them are still alive.
Didn't think they were on the moon. What we were talking about was a movie that's coming out in a couple of days about, and it's a fictional story, about how we filmed a fake moon landing in case we didn't successfully land
and
on the moon.
Someone called us and said Stanley Kubrick, who did a great movie, 2001, Space Odyssey?
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Right, Space Odyssey. He was the one who actually created the set and filmed the fake moon landing.
Well, but was there a fake moon landing?
No, there wasn't. But people think that Stanley Kubrick is the one that did do the fake moon landing that didn't exist.
And what I was suggesting, and it was a question. It was a mere question to everybody. And you should ask your wives, sons, and daughters, and husbands at the dinner table today. I think it's a great dinner table discussion.
Mm.
If our government, someone we trust in our government, finds somebody, came out and said, look, we're coming clean. Moon landing was all fake, okay?
69 didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Mets won the World Series.
Depending on what house you're in.
Look at you. It didn't happen. What would that do to us? Like, would we be upset? Would it cause civil unrest? Like, what would happen if all of a sudden we were told, the whole thing's a fraud?
We'd go, eh.
So it wouldn't even be like this incredibly monstrous thing. Like, are we leading the show tomorrow?
No, because here's the thing. We didn't do anything on the moon. We did nothing.
We planted a flag.
We planted the flag.
And we found Velcro.
Did we?
I have no idea. That's an urban legend.
What? I have no idea.
I thought we got Velcro from the moon.
Yeah, that's what we did. I think enough time has passed that nobody, not that nobody cares, but we'd be like, whatever. I think that's the reason.
And we didn't do anything. We didn't like put a civilization or
no, but we won
any permanent. Yeah, we won, but do we even care about that anymore?
Yeah, America likes to win.
We do like to win, but do we care about winning in 1969?
No, not anymore, but I don't think that, like I said, at the time, we wanted to win. So if it was 5 years later, if we said,
we're talking about right now.
No, that's what my point
is. Okay, so here's the thing that's a big negative.
The Russians getting to the moon before we did was going to help, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't fix the Soviet Union. They still fell apart.
Hegemony. Seriously, what do we think it's going to do?
It doesn't do anything. Here's the one, like, on a serious note, on why this cannot come out. it will cause a distrust in our government that we will never be able to recover from. And you will hear people, they question stuff now, it'll be on steroids.
Yeah.
And that is why, please, former President Bush, former President Obama, keep this lie going.
Well, I don't know. There's already a lot of conspiracies around that Kennedy administration anyway.
That's true. Right?
Does it matter, really?
That's a good point. Anyhow, Yankee baseball is coming up next. An early start time down in Tampa. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock.